Welcome to this episode of The Balance. I'm Dr. Catlin Tucker, and today I want to talk about the process of meaning making and how we can cultivate the meaning making process in our classrooms. So in my work helping teachers to kind of shift from that whole group teacher-led lesson to differentiated small group student-centered learning experiences, I'm asked questions that definitely give me the feeling that some teachers worry students can't learn without them. So when I work with teachers designing lessons, say using like the station rotation model, some teachers really struggle to understand how can a student start at a station and complete an activity before they go to the teacher-led station and receive instruction. And I feel like this assumption that students can't really engage in meaningful and self-directed work unless they're given information from the teacher or see the teacher work through a model is kind of concerning, right? Our entire job is to help students become lifelong learners. And obviously, this is a gradual process of releasing control from teacher to learner as students develop and age and mature. But it's so important that we believe our students are capable of engaging in meaningful work on their own and really engaging in that meaning-making process. I had a podcast episode a few months ago where I talked to James Anderson about his book, Learnership. And he points out that learning is not the product of teaching, but rather learning is the product of what students do, their activity. Yet in so many classes, I still see the teacher doing the lion's share of the work at the front of the room. They are unpacking complex texts and topics. They're modeling strategies and processes and skills. And students are largely watching and listening and taking notes. They're still positioned much of the time to be these passive receivers. What they need are more opportunities to actively engage in the meaning-making process. So what do I mean when I say meaning-making? This is the process by which students interpret, they understand, and they make sense of information, experiences, and the world around them. It is a critical component of learning that moves beyond the mere kind of acquisition of facts and information. It is that active process of constructing knowledge by building on our prior understanding, our prior experiences, and engaging with content in a really meaningful and relevant way. So fostering meaning making really requires that we as educators create these learning environments where students are encouraged to question, analyze, synthesize, engage in conversation, collaborate with peers, apply information in lots of different contexts. So there are lots of vehicles for meaning making. Some of them are individual and some are collaborative. So for example, discussions, debates, problem solving activities, and reflective practices are some of the ways we can help students to connect new knowledge with their kind of existing framework of understanding. And the goal of promoting meaning making in a classroom is really to develop independent learners who can think critically, they can solve problems, and they can apply their knowledge, and we don't necessarily have to direct that entire experience. I read a really great older article in Edutopia written by Judy Willis, and she said, quote, "If students do not have opportunities to develop their higher order cognitive skill sets, they won't develop reason, logic, creative problem solving, conceptual development, media literacy, and communication skills best suited for the daily complexities of life or the professional jobs of their future." Willis points out that the prefrontal cortex, which is home to our critical thinking skills, changes and develops most rapidly from the ages of 8 to 16. So during that window, it's essential that we are trying to stimulate that part of the brain to encourage the development of executive function. And meaning making can help to strengthen this network, which is another reason why I think it should be part of every lesson. So I wrote a blog where I shared a collection of strategies that educators can use to promote independent meaning making as well as collaborative meaning making. In the section on independent meaning making, I highlight strategies like asking students to create an analogy. So if they're learning about something, can they compare that thing to something else and really think about the thing that they're studying, that thing's qualities or characteristics, to explain how it's similar to something very different. And really thinking through this analogy can help students to better understand the concept, the idea, the issue, the process, the thing that they are kind of focusing on in our classes. We can have them comparing and contrasting, really thinking about how two concepts or processes or issues or phenomenon are similar and different from one another. And they can capture their thinking in a Venn diagram, in writing or drawing, or even a verbal explanation. We can also ask them to draw a concept map or a flow chart to surface their learning in a really visual way and focus on making connections between ideas. This encourages them to begin by identifying the main concepts covered in a lesson or a video, an article, a chapter of text, or even a podcast, and create a concept map or a flow chart to show how these concepts fit together. How are they connected to one another? When we think about collaborative meaning making and how we can engage members of the class to work together to construct knowledge, some of the strategies we might use are small group in-person discussion or even online discussion if we want to make sure every student can have a voice in the conversation. So students can engage asynchronously or synchronously in a discussion about a text, a topic, an issue, a phenomena, answering questions, making connections, building on ideas that are shared by their classmates, and maybe even respectfully offering different perspectives or different point of view. Reciprocal teaching is a wonderful strategy where groups of four students work together to really dig into a particular type of media. So classically, reciprocal teaching was used with texts, but now that we have students consuming media in lots of forms, you know, watching videos, listening to podcasts, we can also engage them around those types of media as well. So each student in the group of four assumes a specific role. You usually have a summarizer, a predictor, a questioner, a clarifier, and the goal is for them to read, watch, listen to a small section of whatever the media is that they're digging into. And then they pause. So they don't read the whole thing, watch the whole video. They literally read a paragraph or two, watch maybe a minute or two of video. And then they pause and they engage in a collaborative conversation about what they're learning from the lens of their comprehension strategy. So the summarizer is going to try to summarize the key points that were just covered. The predictor is going to try to make predictions based on what they just read or saw or heard. The third strategy that I highlight in the blog is role-playing or simulations, really asking students to explore things like historical events or scientific phenomena or social situations from different perspectives to deepen their understanding through social and experiential learning. So when it comes to the teacher's role in facilitating meaning making, obviously the goal is kind of a gradual release of responsibility for these meaning making activities to our students. But before that can happen, we play a really important role onboarding students to the meaning making strategies, guiding them through the process, maybe modeling for them so they can see that strategy in action, and then providing support in the early stages of this work. So teachers really should begin always by explaining what's the value of a particular meaning-making strategy. Why would we ask students to, say, come up with an analogy or engage in a role play or simulation? Students need to understand why they're being asked to complete an activity, what is the value, what is the purpose. Next, we want to model the process, conducting a think aloud, kind of walking through the parts of the strategy so students can see it in action and hopefully feel a bit more confident when it's their turn that they're going to be able to also complete whatever it is the task is. Depending on the complexity of the strategy, teachers may want to guide students' initial work with that strategy or even facilitate it in a small group at the teacher-led station in a station rotation. The nice thing about that is if we're using a strategy like reciprocal teaching, students have to assume a role. There's a protocol involved for pausing and discussing, and that might be something that would be best in the early stages facilitated by the teacher in a small group. So teachers may want to also differentiate the process, you know, making some scaffolds like sentence stems available to help students get comfortable engaging with the strategy. And then once students understand the purpose, they have a clear sense of how to execute the strategy, then we can release it into maybe small independent group work as part of a blended learning lesson. Maybe it's an independent station and a station rotation. Maybe it's an activity that we build into a playlist or a choice board. So if you're curious about meaning-making strategies that might be a good fit for your students, the blog I wrote has at the bottom, you can access a resource for meaning-making strategies for secondary students and meaning-making strategies for elementary students. And each of the documents has a list of strategies and what the purpose is. And also, if you want to use technology to facilitate any part of the process, there are also recommendations for different tech tools that you can use if you want to have this be kind of an online, offline, or an entirely online experience. So as always, if you have questions, you can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at @Catlin_Tucker. You can find me on Instagram at Catlin Tucker, or you can go to my website, CatlinTucker.com. And if you're looking for this specific blog that goes with this episode, it is titled Cultivating Independent and Collaborative Meaning Making, and it is on CatlinTucker.com.